Welcome to Copcast, the podcast of YEP about personal growth and leadership. In every podcast, we will interview an inspiring guest about his or her experience and views in developing skills and capacities of young people. My guests will also give practical tips and recommendations in how to apply their lessons and insights into your daily work and life. YEP is the acronym of the Young Expert Programs, a partnership of the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs with the Netherlands Walter Partnership. My name is Paul van Koppen. I am a trainer and coach at YEP and consultant in the international water sector. Today, my guest is Petra Stine. She's author, Arabist, independent advisor, public speaker, and since 2015, a member of the Dutch Senate for the Social Liberal Party. She has had a very international career, worked for 17 years with the Dutch Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and lived many years in the Middle East. Her latest book is called Strengthen Your Charisma, and this will be the focus of today's interview. Welcome, Petra. Great to have you here.
Hello, Paul.
This is our kickoff, as you know, so I'm really happy and grateful for you to join us for this first interview in this series of Copcast. We know each other actually already a few years, so that helps in our conversation. And we know each other from our joint work with YEP programs. But before we go to your book and the topic of today, could you elaborate a bit more, please, about your international career?
Well, I grew up in a very small town in the southern part of the Netherlands, close to the German and the Belgian border. So I think from an early age on, I've been really used to listening to other languages and having the border close by. And then I studied Arabic, and fast forward, I was a diplomat for the Netherlands Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Cairo and Damascus, among other things. And I've worked in development cooperation, human rights, asylum and migration. And this all sounds very technical, but the real experience was, who am I in relation to the other who's completely different from me at first sight? Because I've learned in my international work that when you work together with colleagues, with friends, and you discuss passion, reading, literature, that there are actually very often many, many similarities.
Okay, I see the spark in your eyes. Nice to hear. Was that also the reason for you to start studying Arabic?
I am a very curious person. And I think curiosity is really something that every leader should have. Always remain curious until you're 80, 85. And Arabic, it was such a magical language. You write and read it from right to left. Think about it, what it does to your brain. I'm sure that some of the YEPers write a language in a different alphabet. It's really good for leadership skills to be able to turn things around. So I think this is what I learned studying Arabic as well.
And where was your first encounter then with the Arabic language? Because somewhere a seed must have been planted.
Okay. It's a bit of an embarrassing story because I grew up in a family where we had some issues. So I wasn't really up to speed with my homework. And then a friend of mine said, well, you can copy my history paper. And his history paper was on Islam. I didn't copy it. I went to the library, read books about religion, Islam, the Prophet, the Middle East, and I was completely hooked. And I thought, if I want to understand this culture, this immense region, I need to learn the language.
Okay. So it also sounds to me as a kind of coincidental way of meeting your focus language. Huh?
In Arabic, they have a saying that something is maktub. It is written. So I don't really know whether it was coincidence or whether it was written.
Maybe this is typical for, you know, everyone's career. That's what I'm thinking. But that's maybe something for another topic.
And it's a philosophical question. But does the path choose you or do you choose the path?
Yeah, I recognize this. And maybe I'm also curious. I know you a bit also from your, you know, LinkedIn messages and all other social media messages. So can you say a little bit about your engagement with young people or your other, let's say, work?
Huh? Yeah, for me as a young person, I was lucky enough to have mentors in my life. And I'm 55 now, and I feel that I'm in this stage of my life where I want to give back. And I think it's a mutual pleasure. it's not only me mentoring younger people, but it's also younger people showing me their world so I can learn from them.
Okay, that's nice to hear.
It's an exchange.
Yeah, there's an exchange, yeah. Okay, it's good to hear, also from the coaching perspective that I recognize, yeah. Before we would like to take a look at your latest book, Charisma, I'm also curious to hear how you have been coping with the corona crisis here in the Netherlands. Because as we speak, we are in a pop-up studio at the office of Netherlands Water Partnership, fully corona-proof, during the second wave in Netherlands. But I was just curious, how did you cope with this whole period, this 7 or 8, 9 months?
Well, I traveled a week, a month before corona, BC, I would say. And then I contracted a disease myself. I don't know where. It's not a flu. It's very tough. And I made a big mistake because I thought, oh, I'm just coughing a bit. So I worked online while I was sick. Please don't do this because you really, really need to take this seriously. And I learned that I like plants.
You like plants?
Yeah. I have a lot of plants on my balcony now. Because that was the only thing I could do. I couldn't leave the house, so my friends brought me plants. So I have all these beautiful colored plants on my balcony. And I really, really appreciated things close by. So I'm walking a lot. I am closer to my family, to my neighbors. And I also learned something that I find very difficult. I ask for help.
You ask for help, yeah.
Because when I was sick, I couldn't do my own groceries. So I had to ask my neighbors for help. And I think actually every leader should be able to ask for help. So that's my biggest lesson.
I was about to ask, but you're already answering this. So this is your biggest lesson because you shared already some other lessons. Yeah, okay. To ask for help. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and dare to be vulnerable. I think we live in this society where we're always traveling, on the move, and all of a sudden everything came to a standstill. So a tip for the listeners. For me, Brené Brown's Unlocking Us podcast has really got me through this difficult period. So I put it on when I was walking, and basically her podcast gave me permission to feel this vulnerability and to ask for help and to regain my own strength, but in a more balanced way.
Interesting, yeah. We will share, by the way, all your references. We'll come back to some of them later. On our website and on the Basecamp platform. But it's interesting to hear from you. Yeah. Okay, nice. So Petra, I was also intrigued after reading the book. What was the particular interest that you had yourself for taking this subject? Because you don't seem to lack charisma yourself as a person that I have learned to know.
Well, this book is not for my own personal development because I want to share what I learned from my own coach, Maximilian Winkelhuis. And when you look at the big challenges in the world, climate, food, poverty, gender equality, we need good storytellers to put this on the agenda because we see that the people who are against working for climate, people who are against working for gender equality, they are very often quite charismatic, but not compassionate. They only speak to their own audiences. So if you are a Yapper and you're working in agri-food, in water, in energy, in climate, and maybe even in gender equality, it's not enough to know the theory, the facts and figures, to make people move towards your better world idea. No, you need to be a good storyteller as well. And this book and our theory will enable people to get more exposure for the good story.
For the good story. Yeah, I like this kind of summary. And maybe picking up on the good story. But how would you define charisma in, let's say, in a kind of few words or how would you define it to understand what you mean with it? And later we will go a bit deeper in the book and the details. Mm.
So charisma is very often seen as a gift of God. But for me, it's the magic of attention. And it's really going into ingredients and inner voices of charisma. And we developed the whole theory. I don't know whether you want to go into it now.
No, let's do it later. I was more interested in maybe hearing from some examples of people you know around or in the past that you say, these have really inspired me as well to study more into the subject of charisma.
Well, if you look, for example, at Malala, who was a young girl when she was shot by the Taliban, and the way she really took the stage to plead for education for girls. She created a movement. But then when you look at David Attenborough, who was 94, who is old and wrinkled, and when you watch his documentary, he's so charismatic. He really uses all the elements we also explain in our theory, and you want to really work towards a better climate after you listen to him.
Yeah, no, I remember also your those persons, and I imagine those Malala and David Attenborough. I was also thinking about Greta Thunberg, for instance.
A lot
of people saying she's maybe lacking charisma. How would you perceive her, you know, performance and her exposure, but also her influence?
She actually is Pippi Longstocking. She's Swedish. She. I mean, the famous quote from Pippi Longstocking is, I have never done it before, so therefore I think I can do it. So can you imagine that you have a daughter who says, I'm going to sit in front of the parliament and I'm going on school strike on my own, and whatever, 6 months later, there are millions of people in the streets. You would probably say, no, darling, this is not going to happen. She did it. Yeah. So in our theory, she is the rebel.
Yeah.
She's not the pretty girl, not at all. No, she knows what she wants, and she's the rebel, and she's compassionate, and she dares to stand for her cause.
That's nice. Yeah, let's make this bridge to some of your theoretical elements, the theory of your book. I'm a coach, as you know, so I really was fascinated by some of your ingredients and your inner voices. But maybe you can explain a little bit about your theory of charisma. Maybe.
Okay. Give me 1 minute. So we have 5 ingredients. Authenticity, do you really show what you feel? Mission, vision, do you stand for something extraordinary? Are you able to create a we feeling? Do you use the right language with the right tone of voice? And is your body language in conformity what your story is? Those are the ingredients. Anybody who makes risotto knows she needs basic ingredients. But we're very much interested in real good chocolate, delicious chocolate. And those are the inner voices. This is the mix you can make in your own inner voices. So we have the playful child, the happy rebel, the communicative body, the sensual one, and very important, a compassionate voice. And when you mix these 5 ingredients and the 5 voices, you can really create your own charismatic profile. And of course, you can't do all the 5 ingredients well and all the 5 voices well. But with our theory, we can look at what is your, and if I look at you, I think you are a happy rebel. I can tell. But maybe if you came to our workshop, we would work a little bit with your sensuality. And this is not to be explicit. No, the sensuality is also, how can I convince people in a storytelling way, in a seductive way, to listen to my story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I will take your offer later. No, I read a lot of examples in your book. But maybe coming back to your theory, because I've done a coaching education, I really liked the combination that you used in let's say the ingredients, and I would take them as kind of, as you said, the core elements. Mm-hmm. I would also call them sometimes the more technical or the more professional elements.
Yeah, it's the basic theory of charisma book. You will find these ingredients.
But I also liked very much the inner voices that you, I would say these are more the mind or the psychological elements that you add to the to the recipe.
It's very much from the theory of voice dialogue. Yeah. So we all have these inner voices that are combating with each other. And we took 5.
Yeah.
There are many more, but we took 5 that will help you to enlarge your charisma.
And this is my question, actually. How do you came together with Maximilian to, let's say, this 5 and 5 elements? Did you use an existing theory? Or?
No. We really developed this theory ourselves. And Maximilian Winkelhuis has had an executive leadership office for a long time. He actually coached ballroom dancers. And this is where he used the theory of charismatic dancing, because people can be very good in the technical aspect of dancing, but they might not have the charismatic expression. And in the at the end of the day, whether you look at artists, at professionals, think of any conference you went to. The person you remember is the person who made you feel different at the end of the speech.
Yeah, I can recognize this very much, actually. And maybe one other element I would like to hear something from you about is I was actually, to my positive surprise, I was seeing you have a lot of kind of exercises and self-assessments in the book. Huh?
Yeah.
So it seems like this is almost part of a kind of, well, workshop approach. Huh? Mm-hmm. Could you say a little
bit
about this?
It's very similar to the YEP program.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can only learn by doing and experiencing and also making mistakes.
Yeah.
You don't have to be perfect right away. Make mistakes, it's fine. It's learning by reading and doing.
Yeah, but the other part may be that if I would only read the book, I may miss some exercising. How could I do it without following your workshop, for instance? Or?
Well, there are a lot of exercises in the book. And, you have to make some kilometers in doing. Huh?
Yeah.
So actually, in the Netherlands, they did some research about speaking in public. And it's apparently one of the biggest fears of people to speak in public. And I think with our theory, you will in the end enjoy speaking in public, whether it's at the party of your office or at an anniversary, but also maybe in a conference with 2,000 people. This will help you to enjoy telling your story much more.
Yeah, no, that's I can confirm. Even only after reading, I already learned a lot that I was intrigued
to
apply it and recognize some of the elements I learned in my coaching education. But still, it's refreshing to learn other perspectives. Really nice. Maybe let's make a bridge to the young experts, our target group, our audience. So what would you say in a kind of, you know, general or summarized way, what is especially relevant for young experts to take from your theory?
Yeah, I think when I visualize the groups we've worked with in the kickoff, to know who you are, what your journey is, and what you want to contribute from this journey to the world is very important. And sometimes I feel that people are shy to share their story. And the magic of attention for your own story will help you to bring your story across, whether it's your own story or the story of your organization or the ideal you have for the world. So knowing your own story will enable yourself to get more exposure for the story, the bigger story.
Yeah, and of course, I cannot withhold the question asking you, of those five ingredients and the five inner voices, what would you say, if you have to choose, what would you say these are the most important, you think, or recommend to focus on these to start with?
When you think of certain politicians and leaders that seem charismatic, when they are lacking compassion, then you see only the shadow side of charisma. So I'm not going to name names here, but we can all visualize the leader we think is like a Pied Piper, luring people with a promise that they will never fulfill. But they only are charismatic to their own group. So the compassion for the other and also the openness and the curiosity for the other is very, very important. So this would be, for me, the ribbon around the whole theory.
Yeah, okay. So the compassion voice, the compassionate voice. Yeah, interesting, yeah. So I was intrigued by another element in your book. While describing your ingredients and your inner voices, you were always also highlighting or describing the, let's say, the negative sides of overdoing it.
Huh? Yeah, for example, the compassionate voice has a shadow side. If I am your manager and every day I'm asking you, so Paul, how are you doing? Oh, did you sleep well? That would really feel like smothering you. And that's a negative side. Then you go too far. Or, for example, the playful child. If I'm always happy, even though I feel sick and I don't show my vulnerability, then I'm really doing harm to myself, but also to the team and to the organization. So it's very good to be aware of the shadow side.
Yeah, I recognize this also from other theories, but interesting to read that you're really clear in describing some of those elements. Another few topics I would like to ask you. First of all, I know you have been very active in gender issues in your work, in your private life, and but also in diversity, in political issues. So how do you see this charisma subject related to those issues?
When we work with, when we do a workshop, and when I see all the people in the group, I never ask them about where do you come from? What is your religion? What is your political belief? But this theory will show that everybody has different voices and that you can play with these different voices. So it's actually a very inclusive theory for all genders, for all ethnicities, for all races, for all religious backgrounds, because in the end, it's about how you tell your story, whether the other person feels included in your story.
Yeah, but sometimes it also seemed to me as a kind of chicken and egg relationship. Aren't sometimes political issues or gender issues maybe more important to get your story told or to get your story exposed?
No, when we look at the Corona COVID pandemic, there is this myth now that feminine leaders or female leaders are better in dealing with it. And I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree. I think it's the inclusive leaders, the people who recognize that COVID touches different people in a different way. And so people who have an open view on, hey, we are maybe all touched by it, but we don't all have the same shelter to hide from it. So the leaders who are inclusive and think, okay, this colleague is with a family with small children, so working at home is different from the colleague who's living on his own and doesn't have any social contacts anymore. So as a manager, to be inclusive doesn't mean that you have to treat everybody equally. No, there needs to be an equity. What does the colleague need? And this theory will help you to find this inclusive approach.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I like your inclusive approaches. Yeah, because some people might also argue, well, charisma is still something that you're born with, or there's a genetic limit to how to develop it.
It's a skill.
It's a skill.
And it's a skill. So like writing is a craft, like fast swimming. I mean, you are not a fast swimmer the first time you dive into the swimming pool. So you really can learn it.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to hear. Yeah. Maybe it's coming to some personal visioning that I would like to hear from you, because I've really read with interest about your theory and how to apply it, how to develop it as a skill.
Mm-hmm.
How would you see for the coming years, or maybe for the long-term future, the ideal world in terms of charisma and telling our story?
I think it starts with the story. What do you want to change? Better climate, more gender equality, less poverty, less waste of food. And this theory can help you to get more exposure for your story.
Sure.
And one of the lessons I learned from the Barack Obama era is his... in his book, Dreams of My Father, he talks about how he was a community worker in Chicago. And I think Barack Obama is very good in this three steps approach. So he says, I was a community worker in Chicago, and I saw that you also are very keen on making this a better place for everybody. He did it in Chicago, did it in the United States. So this, I see something, do you see the same? So can we do it together? I think this is for every Yepper a very nice question to ask.
Yeah, well, nice. Yeah, I think, and everybody will recognize Barack Obama as something with a lot of charisma.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nice. Well, we come almost to the end of this interview. Maybe a last question to you. We've been touching upon many elements of your theory and the book. Is there any additional message or point you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, I think charisma and storytelling can always help you to become a better team. So to be a good listener, but also my biggest hero is Maya Angelou. She's a poet, she's a theater maker, a filmmaker, she was an activist. Look her up, Maya Angelou. And she said something that we've used in our theory as well. Can I quote her?
Yeah, of course, please go ahead. I'm interested to hear.
So she said, I have learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah, Maya really nice. Angelou. Yeah, I recognize also this the power, yeah, of what she's saying. Interesting. Before we let you go, Petra, we would like to know from you maybe a few additional references on this topic, or maybe inspirational persons or websites. Mm. We will make them available on the YEP platform, but maybe it's good you mention a few of them here.
Well, I already mentioned Brené Brown. Everything she writes, everything she says on podcasts, I like a lot. I also like the books by Stephen Covey, this 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but I really like the other book, The Eighth Habit, is finding your inner voice, yeah, but enabling others to find their voice as well. And I think you can do this when you're 22, when you're 55, when you're 84. When you're 22 or when you're 24 and you're starting your career, you maybe think my voice doesn't count, but your voice counts from the beginning. But it's also good to listen to other people's voices.
Okay, that's nice to hear. And I'm a big admirer of Stephen Covey, so I will fully endorse your recommendation. Yeah. Petra, this is the end of our interview. I would like to thank you very much for kicking off and helping me in this first Copcast. This was Copcast, the YEP podcast on personal growth and leadership. And today we spoke with Petra Stine. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in learning more about developing the capacities of international young experts, please take a look at the YEP website at www.yepprograms.com. Thank you.
Thank you.